Day on the Breakdown, Mariano breaks out of his shell. The British Bulldog breaks in to Value Town. And a surprise guest is going to break through and become a big part of your life. It's all happening right now on the Breakdown with Grant Desson and Jihad Levy.
Who's the surprise guest? I guess it's a surprise.
I mean, what a weird fucking thing to ask.
But so it's a surprise to me as well?
I guess it is. If you don't know, it must be a surprise to you too.
Let me explain to the listeners the situation and how unlikely it would be if there was an actual surprise guest. And if there is, kudos to you, Jonathan Levy, because that would be amazing.
I appreciate that.
I have been at Jonathan's apartment for 3 hours. We've already recorded a Breakdown podcast today, a different one. And we didn't know when the second one would start. Jonathan has not called anybody to my knowledge. Maybe he's been texting. They would have to come to his apartment and like come in right at the right time on the Breakdown podcast when we didn't even know we were going to do a second Breakdown podcast today. That would be like next level shit. That would be amazing. Is that what's going to happen? Is it Don Cheadle? Is it Don Cheadle?
How would you feel if it was Don Cheadle?
I would feel elated.
Here's the thing. If it was Don Cheadle, I guess it wouldn't be a surprise anymore. So it's not Don Cheadle anymore.
You can switch
Excuse
it that
me,
fast?
Just for a moment. Just get my phone in. Doop, doop, boop, boop. Just a little texting. All right, I'm good.
Who would you
it's
be?
It's not Don Cheadle.
Who would you be most surprised to see walk through the door right now if I was like, finally the surprise guest
for
is
me?
Coming? Yeah.
Most surprised?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it has to be someone obviously alive and able to do it.
Yeah,
all
yeah, like Hitler. Like, Hitler,
exactly,
obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's Moses walking in, and it was that somehow. Yeah. I knew, but beyond that, most surprise would be. I mean, the first name that comes to mind. There's a few obvious ones, right? You got your Donald Trumps.
Yeah.
Your Putins.
Yeah, Putin. I thought of
Obama too.
Putin would be a very big surprise.
Putin is the biggest guest.
Yeah, that's,
so far.
That's a good one.
I feel like Taylor Swift would be a pretty big shock.
Yeah.
She's a tough get these days.
You know who I would not be surprised by? Two people. I would not be surprised if James Corden walked through that door.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if James Franco walked through that
James
door.
James Franco, you say?
Yeah, hold two on. Jameses.
You can describe what I'm doing if you want right now.
He's looking at he's texting. It looks like he's
just
texting.
Just got to make one little change.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Just a scheduling thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay. Not, so it's not.
I will tell you this. James Franco is definitely not walking
okay.
through that door. But I will say this, now that I've told you Don Cheadle is not coming through, it would be a surprise if Don Cheadle did.
Also James Franco.
This reminds me of the guy who was going to be killed, executed, and the judge said, it's going to happen sometime in the next week, but it'll be a surprise when it is. And the guy said, checkmate, now you can't kill me. The judge said, what do you mean? He's like, well, today, you know, the last day of the week is Friday. So if it's Thursday night and you haven't killed me, I won't be surprised that you kill me on Friday. So you cannot kill me on Friday. And that means on Wednesday night, I won't be surprised if it's Thursday because it can't be Friday. So you can't kill me on Thursday. And I can walk that backward all the way to right now and you cannot surprise me. You have to let me go. And the judge agreed and let him go. He had killed multiple people.
Wow. Sweet story.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just logicked his way out of a death sentence. Huh?
I mean, you know, sometimes you can do that.
Yeah, if it's in it was in like the Bahamas or something.
Yeah, you have to say checkmate first. Yeah. That really helps.
Cool. Hey, little business to clean up.
Yes.
Last podcast we did, we attributed it to Crispy Beaumont. Crispy Beaumont did not suggest that hand.
You actually did not. You attributed it to Ruthino.
That is incorrect.
I am right and you are wrong.
Are you sure?
Yep.
How sure are you?
I hate when you look at me with that look.
How sure are you?
I'm pretty sure. I think I'm right. I'm not right.
You're really not.
It wasn't Ruthino?
No, we even talked about Crispy Beaumont and we did like a voice.
Name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. All right, fine.
What is wrong with you? What made you think that? Doesn't matter. Now Ruthino gets extra credit. Congratulations.
For not doing anything?
Yeah. I mean, he was in the Q&A. But anyway, Crispy Beaumont suggested this hand that we're going to do today. But the last hand was suggested by a first-time suggester who goes by Ocean on Discord.
And
so, Ocean, thank you for the last suggestion.
I would like to say, you grouped me into the we there when we attributed it, but I don't think I attributed anything to anyone. I believe you incorrectly attributed the hand to Crispy Beaumont.
Yeah, in the work that I always do that you don't do.
Yeah. So why are you saying we now when you always want credit when it's something good? You're like, I did that. That's classic Grant. I.
Thank you. I appreciate what you're saying. Yeah. So anyway, Ocean suggested the last hand between Brambala and Andy.
Okay.
But this one is Crispy Beaumont, and it's at the Lodge.
This is a good hand. The last one was good, too. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to Ocean's Hand.
Yeah, and go listen to Ocean Man, the song.
There it
as
is.
As well, because it's Ocean Man by Ween. All right, so it's a 5,100 game. There's some sort of strange straddle rules in place that I don't fully understand, because there are straddles under the gun in plus one from Mariano and Rampage, the two biggest streamers of the moment right now, probably.
Probably.
And the small blind is the first to act in the hand, it looks like. So that's very strange.
Yeah, it's possible it has nothing to do with the straddles. It may be other, for other reasons that they're doing that. I don't know. You don't know. Let's not worry about it.
Right.
Let's just play this out as is, you know, as played, basically. Let's do one of those and rock and roll, because we could really twist our little brains into all sorts of wacky shapes.
Yep. You know, I just realized a possibility.
Hit me.
It's possible that the Lodge stream, the way they did it, had a commercial happen right before he opened from the small blind, and it actually was like the other players had already folded, and it made it look like the hand was just starting because it was right
but
after a commercial.
But you watched the hand. Did you not see after Rampage, who was the second straddler, if everyone else folded or not? You didn't.
I wasn't paying that much. I was busy writing down the action.
Almost certainly what it is. All right, I'm glad we got there.
Yeah, okay. Well, we figured it out.
We did figure it out. I.
You're really hurting the vibes, man.
Yeah. That's my job. Yeah. I'm Derailer Jonathan. You are Builder Grant.
Builder Grant?
Yeah, you're the guy who builds stuff. You got a little hat, and everyone laughs at you. You got a little orange vest. People think you're dumb.
What? We should not do two podcasts in one day, because you get mean.
There was nothing mean about that. There was a little bit mean in there.
No, there's nothing.
And I'm worried that builders are going to think, I said people think you're dumb because you're Grant the Builder or Builder Grant. But that's not why. It's just people think he's dumb. And he happens to be wearing these things and people think he's a builder. They're separate universes. And it's important to keep those things
apart. Okay, you elitist
apart.
Bastard. Whatever. Also, me and the other builders don't respect you.
I'm just glad you're acknowledging that you are the builder.
And you're the destroyer.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I am an agent of chaos, and I fully embrace it, the role.
Well, it seems like Bulldog wants to be that with the name Bulldog.
Yes, it does. I mean, sure.
You finally agreed to something. All right. So Bulldog is in the small blind. Probably everybody else folded, and it's now on Bulldog. Let's go with that. Bulldog has 54,000 in his stack, so just over 100 double straddles. And he's got queen nine of clubs. So he's going to open to 1,400. Do you think this is too loose with four people with money in the pot, three behind him?
I think it's okay, but I'm surprised. So Rampage made it how much?
400.
400. I might go a little bigger.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think it's okay to do this. It's a playable hand. It's like we'd open from the cutoff, right? I mean, we're out of position, so it's a little bit worse. But we definitely open this hand from the cutoff without thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's fine.
Okay. The big blind folds, and now Mariano is in the straddle, and I sure didn't write his hand down, but I know what it is.
It's ace king.
Yeah, with the king of clubs. I don't remember what the ace was.
It's not the ace of clubs. I know that because I'm smart.
You do know that.
Builder boy.
Yeah. So Mariano is ace king off with the king of clubs. That's going to matter.
Yeah.
And I think this must be a Rampage specific play. He flats out of the straddle with Rampage behind.
1,000,000% a Rampage specific play, right? Yeah. 1,000,000,000,000%.
He's hoping Rampage rampages.
Go get him, Ethan.
Yeah. But Rampage does not rampage. He folds.
Nice job, Rampage.
So we end up heads up with Bulldog with queen nine of clubs and Mariano with ace king. And the flop is ace of hearts, eight of clubs, five of diamonds.
Yes.
So it's fine that Rampage didn't rampage now because we are under-repped and this is our opponent's board, but we really have it. So that feels pretty good.
Yeah, Mariano. It's great.
So Bulldog bets. He bets 900, reasonable. He's got a couple back doors, but of course, this is his board.
Mm-hmm.
Mariano has a lot of stuff. 900 into 3,400. Do you think that's big enough? It's small.
I think it's probably fine. It is small. you know, we're balancing with all our good aces and stuff like that, where we want to bet small on this board, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I know we'd really like him to fold and all, but we got two back doors and we're continuing, and this is just the size we continue on this board. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Mario's going to have a lot of insta folds, right? If he has king jack off, isn't he just folding almost always?
Probably.
Yeah. So I think it's fine.
Do you have any arguments for Mariano raising?
Very slight ones. I think my arguments for him not raising are much stronger anyway.
Okay.
The obvious reason to raise is because we are underrepped, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when we raise, we are no longer underrepped. We might almost be overrepping our hand a little bit. But it's very hard to put us on ace-king, which is cool. But we could have ace-8 suited, ace-5 suited. We could have sets. And the only other things we really have, I guess, are straight draws, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of think, like, mostly I just want to call with this hand. And we're in position. It's pretty sweet. It's nice to be underrepped and in position, you know?
I agree with that. The reason to raise, if you were to do it, would be to have more value in your raising range on boards like this. Because it's hard to find value, right?
Yeah.
You just have two pair combos and set combos, which are rare. All of those are rare. If you want to raise all of your 6-7s or a fair portion of your 6-7s and some gut shots, you're going to probably have to raise this hand if you're going to be balanced.
You're not raising those hands that often on this board, though, right? This
yeah.
is mostly the preflop raisers or initiators board. And so we're mostly calling, especially in position, even with the straight draws, so we can, you know, we get to see what he does on the
turn. Yeah,
anyway.
I agree. I think it's only if you want to start developing a strategy around raising on these types of boards more frequently that you would do that.
Now, I will say, if Bulldog has ace-queen in this game and when we're Mariano, if we raise, we might get four streets of value.
We really might, yeah.
Pretty great, especially if, like, a 9 or a 4 doesn't come, you know, where it's pretty hard for him to come up with too many things that are clearly way ahead.
If Bulldog has ace-queen or ace-jack or even ace-10, we might, like, at a basically 100 blind effective stack to start the hand, like, we could get all of it by raising.
Yeah. Now, we can wait, though, and sort of see how the hand develops and still raise later, too.
Yeah.
Like, if Bulldog bets sizes that we think aren't big enough at certain spots, we can decide to go for more value and assume we're getting called by the big aces, you know? We have to figure that out on the fly. And this goes back to sort of, like, reading the race or bet sizing, which I know you don't like to do, but still is a thing that I think is often reasonable and useful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mariano calls.
Okay. I would do it too.
And you're going to have to call a pediatrician.
Because your child is a little bit sick, has a little bit of a cough, and you're just not sure. And that's when you call. You don't wait. You call.
Well, that's a reason.
Oh.
But the reason that the people who are listening
oh.
are going to have to call a pediatrician is because of the level of childlike wonder that will be engendered from joining Nitro Betting using the link in the description will turn them into a literal child. And they're going to have to get checked out. Because it's like, how often does that happen that you turn from an adult into a child?
I mean, would you really call a pediatrician if an adult turned into a child? I don't think that's the first place
I think
you, that's not the first call you make, buddy.
A pediatrician is less likely to turn you into the government than another doctor.
Oh.
They have more empathy. So I think that's where you go.
You are getting dissected. And that's just that. I mean, if you tell anyone, you're getting dissected.
The pediatrician gives you the best chance, though.
There's no chance. Write it off. Write it. It's
all right. So here's the bad news. When you join Nitro Betting, you will be dissected by the government ultimately due to changing from an adult to a child.
Yeah, they have to
know how that
happens. Makes you tick.
Why?
Yeah. And they're going to have to kill you to find
out. But in the meantime, before they get to you, oh, the gambling you can do on Nitro Betting.
Get on the run. You're the fugitive like Harrison Ford.
There's on that run, you can play poker. You can do casino games. You can sports bet. Nitro Betting always has something for everybody, including children who used to be adults.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, in fact.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the childlike wonder is part of the whole thing.
Package.
Yeah. It's part of the deal. So get on there. Use the link in the description when you sign up. Maybe just get that pediatrician's number ready to go in case, like, your child brain doesn't work as well as your adult brain. You know what I mean? You know what I'm
saying? I don't know if you should say that. I guess it depends on how young you are. Like, how childlike are we going to get here?
Are you saying children would be offended by the idea that adults are smarter than children?
Yes. Depending on the age of the child. Absolutely.
Well, those children are idiots if they think that.
Well, that's what happens. Kids think they're smart.
Okay.
They're
are
not.
They? Yeah, they're not.
They think so.
Yeah. Okay.
It's okay.
Good.
It's good. It's you know, I'm the man type of a thing.
Great.
Do you not remember being sure you were smarter than your parents? Because I sure remember thinking I was smarter than your parents. Like, Grant's mom is really not that great there.
Of course I remember that.
Yeah.
But
me too.
I don't think that this is going to get us canceled. I'm not worried about that. About me saying adults are smarter than children.
Well, that's the stuff that's the most dangerous, though, isn't it? Look around you. It's the people who double down. He actually did look around.
Yeah.
The people who double down on their statements. They're like, this is fine. They're the ones who get the most trouble. And now you are part of that group.
Yep. I'm definitely in trouble.
It's okay. Much like Tommy Lee Jones said to Harrison Ford in The Fugitive, I don't care.
That was a perfect Tommy Lee Jones.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He kind of said it like that.
I don't care. I like that.
hey, fun fact about The Fugitive and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So they did not really have a working script for that movie when they shot it. And so if you remember, it's like the police, especially Tommy Lee Jones and all his like sergeants and all that, were really one-dimensional characters, but not in the movie that we saw. In the movie, they have all this funny dialogue and interesting stuff between them. They just all improvised the entire thing. It's all made up. And every take was different, and they just took stuff that was fun and ended up working out great.
Cool.
Fun fact.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
The one-armed man did it.
Yes, he did.
Well, I don't know. I still don't know. I'm still not sure. I kind of think Harrison Ford
I'm
did
pretty
it.
Sure the one-armed man admits to it, and they show us the one-armed
but
man
killing
him.
But were we seeing that through Harrison Ford's like delusional perspective? Was that the intention of the director?
So you're saying Harrison Ford, even if he did it, didn't really know he did it? Is one truly guilty?
Yes,
then?
This is all some sort of mental compensatory fever dream that Harrison Ford's character is experiencing.
Even if that's the
and
case.
As the audience, we're meant to see things through that lens, and he's actually in a coma the whole time, just like every great movie.
So if that's the case, then he would not be guilty, right? Like, look, think of it this way. Let's say yesterday I robbed a bank, like bad, big armed robbery.
Let's say that.
and then I went to sleep, and then today I wake up. And I sort of, for the first 10 minutes, I kind of forgot that I even did that. You know, you're like in a little daze.
Yeah, so you're not
theta. So, yeah, if they arrested me then, they brought me to jail, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And put me up to a lie detector, bro. And then I'd walk.
It really would
and
depend.
And I would say, checkmate.
It would depend on how long it took them to get the lie detector. Because if you start to like get your shit together and remember, then you'd have a problem.
I would ask for forget me now pills.
Oh, yeah. Or you'd do the thing from Ocean's 11 where he puts a tack in his shoe.
Yeah. Oh, is that what he does? Yeah. I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
And like that helps him somehow pass the polygraph.
Well, because he's like in pain. The implication, I think, is that like the pain makes it so that it's a consistent line on the polygraph or whatever. Who gives a shit? $5,200 in the pot.
Yes.
We've got Ace King with the King of Clubs for Mariano. We've got Queen Nine of Clubs for Bulldog. We've got a board of Ace 8-5. With one club, so two back doors for Bulldog, top for Mariano. The turn is the six of clubs. That's one of the Bulldog ding, ding, dingers.
What a card.
It is one of the two best cards in the deck for Bulldog.
Yeah.
So good for him. He's going to check.
Okay.
Maybe he's going for a check raise. What do you think?
I have to believe he's going for a check raise. Sir. He has ace in his range. This is a really good hand that has equity, but no showdown value at all. It feels like it's 100% a check raise spot. He could just barrel too. That would be fine. But a check raise is cool.
Yeah, I like a check raise. But he doesn't get the chance because Mariano checks back.
It's weird. Like, Mariano would be betting so many worse hands than this. This hand is like too good to bet, I guess. I don't think it is. I think he should definitely be betting this hand. I'm really surprised he checks.
I think he's just under the impression that Bulldog often has just absolutely nothing and is hoping to get another bet out of him on the river.
I guess you're probably right. But if Bulldog has like two nines or two tens, is he just going to check fold to Mariano?
Nines,
I guess we're probably only getting one bet.
He's not going to fold nines because he's got a straight draw with it.
Yeah. So. And he's probably holding on with tens too, but probably only for one bet, which we can get on the river anyway, I guess is probably Mariano's thought, right?
Yeah, maybe I mean, typically I would expect a bet though. I mean, like, Bulldog's going to have some aces that he plays this way.
I mean, if Bulldog has like ace four suited, right, which he could definitely have, or ace three suited, or ace two suited, he's check calling, right?
Yeah.
And we might get two streets out of him instead we're just going to get one.
Or like 8-10 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to call the river, but he might. We're Mariano. He might call. We can show up with bluffs for sure.
It's cool to have this in your check back range. You know, that's a cool thing to protect your check back range with.
Agreed.
I mean, Mariano's just playing this whole thing extremely under rep so far.
He really is.
Yeah. Well, it's going to bite him in the ass. I tell you
what. No, it's not.
Why?
How is this going to bite him in the ass? If he bets, Bulldog's just going to fold and everything's going to be over? What are you talking about?
Oh, you're right. Fine, but Come on, I was doing it.
I know, but you push back. You should have just let it go. You'd be like, yeah, you're right, and then it would have been fine. You had to
I would have done the voice better than that. The river is the ace of clubs.
I don't care.
That's Tommy Lee Jones. But you do care that the river is the ace of clubs because that's the card, right? That's the card.
It's insane that's, but it's 100%. It's the best card in the deck or the worst card in the deck.
It's eight of clubs, ace of hearts, five of diamonds, six of clubs, ace of clubs. So Mariano has top trips with the king of clubs blocker. And Bulldog has the second nut flush with queen nine of clubs.
Yep, he sure does. I mean, wow. This really got out of hand.
It sure did. Bulldog is likely not putting Mariano on too many clubs when Mariano doesn't bet the turn when given the opportunity.
Or
right?
Too many aces either. Trip aces doesn't feel like a big part of his range.
Right. So Bulldog bets small, probably trying to get called by a pocket pair or an eight or something like that.
I think trying to get called by like 9-8 suited or something.
He bets 1,300.
Yep.
So is Mariano obligated to raise with a hand this strong?
I think so.
I think so too.
I mean, we feel like we're folding out a lot of this stuff, but we are Mariano, right? We can have weird stuff sometimes. We have bluffs. This is a very strong hand. It's a very small bet we have to raise.
I think we're getting called by every weaker trips combo.
Yeah, all aces.
Yeah, all aces are calling.
If he has ace deuce, he's calling.
And maybe sometimes worse hands than that.
I agree.
Because the line was very strange and suspect.
We also have the king of clubs in our hand. So like, if somehow he has king X, well, he can't have king X clubs. That's really great, right?
Yeah. I mean, full houses are obviously available. But
sure, but it's all very hard to, like, we are obligated to raise this hand.
I agree. And it's confusing to Bulldog, you know, for sure, when Mariano raises, because that's not what you're expecting as Bulldog, having taken the line that you took, which was an odd line on the turn in particular. But Mariano's line throughout has been very like, oh, I don't really have much, you know.
Right.
But he's had ace-king the whole time. So surprising your opponents with your actions is probably a good thing over time, right? So Mariano raises to 8K.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, can Bulldog 3-bet? Because he can't fold. The announcer...
He's never folding.
When you're announcing, sometimes you just say stuff, but the guy said all three options are on the table. Obviously, folding's not on the table.
That would be absurd.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it. So the check-check on the turn just makes it so hard for Mariano to have a full house here, right?
It does, but him having ace-king feels equally unlikely.
That is true. That is true. But he could have bad aces here, right? He could have like ace-deuce suited kind of hands that he checks back sometimes. What else could he could have... No, you figure he'd be betting all his worst flushes, but maybe he has like 5-4 of clubs or something like that. So he had a pair so he could check back with his flush draw, and then he got there, right? It's hard to put Mariano on a better flush than we have. Like, what king X of clubs does he have here?
Maybe specifically king seven of clubs because he had the two back doors on the flop.
Maybe. I mean, king queen of clubs is the same thing, right?
I guess, yeah.
And king six of clubs.
But king six of clubs is not available.
Oh, okay, good. I mean, in theory, then king four of clubs, king nine of clubs also have those back doors.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's calling all those or not. And I don't know if he's calling any of them. We bet small. I guess he can have king, queen of clubs. Oh, he can't have king, queen of clubs. We got the queen of clubs in our hand.
Right.
So the
king, jack of clubs.
So it's, okay. King, jack of clubs, king, ten of clubs.
Yeah.
So there's a few combos of maybe better flushes any that
king,
call the
any,
flop.
Any king four through jack actually is, but nine is not available and queen is not available from our perspective.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, okay. He can have a few combos that are beating us there. Full houses feel impossible, nearly impossible, right?
They feel that way, but I think they are possible because he has ace-king, and it feels similar to any hand that would have a full house by now.
It kind of does. That's true. The good news for us, well, the board is paired, but it's the ace pairing. Like, if it was a different card pairing, I'd be way more afraid, right? Like, the ace pairing feels, like, pretty good.
I kind of disagree. I disagree.
I don't even know if that's true. I think any card pairing is the same, right?
I think the other cards pairing are probably worse.
Really? Worse for who?
Let me think about it for a second. I had a reason that I said that, and I might have been wrong.
Great.
I feel like Mariano is less likely to have a full house that comprises, like, an 8 and a 6 versus an ace-x. I think the ace-x is less vulnerable, and he's more likely to check that back than if he had, like, 8-6 and the 8 paired or something.
I mean, clearly, like, we can just keep coming back to, weirdly, he checked ace-king on the turn, so all these things could be checks.
Right.
At the same point, those are, like, ace-8, for example, like, if he had ace-8.
Yeah.
It seems so hard to imagine Mariano wouldn't want to put some money in on the turn and try and build a pot with a hand.
Same thing with ace-king, though.
True, But ace king is at least more vulnerable. But two pair is barely better than ace king that isn't aces up. Yeah. Like 8-6 is almost is like two pips better. Yeah. Right? So it's all very similar. You're right. You're right. We're all right here. We're all correct.
That's everyone's the great right. thing about the breakdown.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter what card pairs. Let's go with that. Because sure. full houses seem pretty darn unlikely, but if he can have some shit, basically, right?
That's, it's like that a sucks pretty, for us. It's a pretty unlikely event for him to have a full house.
Okay, so it's unlikely for him to have a full house. It's unlikely for him to have better clubs, but they're both at least a little bit possible. We may not know as Bulldog that the full houses are even possible, though. We may think, like, there's no way. But clubs have to be at least a little bit
5x of clubs feels like the thing that he could have.
King 5 of clubs is the thing.
Really. That's the problematic one. But right. there's a lot of 5x of clubs that are good for us.
Yes, yeah. 5x of clubs makes, like, because even, like, King, any other King X of clubs, really, it's hard to give him because, like, you figure he's betting that flush draw on the turn when we check, right? Rather yeah. than just checking it back. But for the 5x of clubs, he's checking back.
Yeah.
So that's the one. Yeah. So it's really just King 5 of clubs.
Is the problem.
Right. And then all the other 5x of clubs are good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is all of that enough to justify a raise? Because if we raise, we have to be able to get called by the worst hands.
Yep. And we also have to have a plan. I guess our plan is just to fold if we get jammed on.
I
right?
think it's got to be.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be a really good price.
So would we get called by... There's the two things we're really targeting. Mainly we're targeting flushes. I guess we're sometimes targeting trip aces. That's really all we're targeting.
Yeah. Right?
And I guess just bluff catchers that have decided not to believe us even though we three bet.
It's possible that Mariano is raising all of his trip aces when Bulldog bets 1,300 and a 5,200 having checked the turn.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he probably is. Just trying to get some value. And he's Mariano with the crazy image.
Yeah.
Like... You can get called by pocket jacks there. Pocket jacks are probably supposed to call Mariano.
Everybody saw
especially
him
with the jack of clubs.
Everybody saw him bet his aces for value against Dan Smith and get snapped off, you know, and that's Mariano, right? He goes for the thin value.
Right. Right. So, okay. I'm sure Mariano's raising all is the thing is are all those aces calling us?
I don't know.
The bad aces probably aren't, right? Because Mario's got to chop off some of his raising range here. He can't call with everything that he just raised with.
He's probably crazy. Like, the ones that are candidates to call are the ones that have a club with them. So that probably is, like, got to be ace 10 and higher, most likely. I don't know if he's going to call out of the right. straddle with unsuited. Rampage behind with ace 4 offsuit, you know?
I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's got ace 10, but maybe.
Probably ace 10.
Ace 10 off?
Yeah.
He might 3 better fold that.
Maybe.
But either way, sure, let's go with what you're saying, though, ace 10 or higher. So, yeah, so there's not... So there aren't that many combos. There's ace 10... Ace Jack, I guess Ace Queen. You'd never think Ace King could be there, right?
I think that Bulldog does ultimately three bet, and I think it's because he thinks it's a free roll. I think he thinks he's basically never losing, is my guess.
Because of the check on the turn. He's just like, you're always betting your King X of clubs on the turn. If you have King Jack of clubs, you're just betting it. You'd never have a full house. I guess you could have exactly King 5 of clubs. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're just going to call my raise, the board's paired. You're never going to put any more money anyway.
Right.
It's. Fine. If I got cooler like that, fine. But I can get called by all the worst combos of flushes and maybe even some trip aces.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking. Okay. So I think it's reasonable. I think it's a reasonable raise here.
I do too.
Because of the check on the turn.
I think Mariano does have quad aces in his range though. And I don't think Bulldog maybe knows that.
Yeah. But there's only one combo of that anyway.
Yeah.
It's not a huge threat, right?
Right.
Okay. So Bulldog raises, we like it. Because
I think
of the check,
so.
Check. I like it.
I think so. 26,300.
It's thin. The question I would always be asking is, can I actually be called by worse? That's the thing I'm a little worried about. And maybe if we can't be called by worse, then I don't like it.
Well, let's find out if Mariano can call with his hand.
Okay.
I mean, I think the answer is clearly yes.
He has ace king with the king of clubs. If you can't call with this hand, what can you call with? That isn't the nuts, basically.
It really depends on what hands you take this line with, right?
Would you rather have the king five of clubs? No, actually, king five of clubs is better, I guess.
Yeah.
King jack of clubs or ace king with the king of clubs? I think the answer is clear, right?
You'd rather have ace king with the king of clubs?
I think so. We assume we're mostly getting raised by full houses here, right? When he three bets?
Yeah.
How many combos? Like, it's only the queen high flush that should be able to comfortably raise us, probably.
But it's not actually that comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
Raise.
We think it's thin anyway. We think it's close. Maybe the jack high flush, but not much. But full houses are probably raising, especially the strong ones. But guess what we block? The strong full houses with our ace.
Well, that makes me ask the question.
Yeah.
What are the hands that we're beating that Bulldog takes this line with for value? And what are the bluffs?
I don't believe Bulldog is taking... ace queen with the queen of clubs for value here in three betting. I don't believe
that.
No,
he's probably just calling.
So we can beat, we can't beat anything for value.
Yeah.
We can only beat bluffs. So what is he turning into a bluff? Could he ever be turning a bad ace into a bluff, like ace deuce suited?
That would be cool if he was.
I think that's not impossible. Could he ever have like 6-8 suited? Was that two pair on the turn though?
Yeah.
So probably he's betting that on the turn most.
But he did check queen nine of clubs on that turn.
But he was probably check raise. Oh, you're saying he maybe did a check raise anyway. Okay, fair enough. Possibly.
6-8 is a good candidate. I like that.
Yes. The two pair, anything that's blocking full houses, right? So that's pretty sweet. I guess 5-6 would be the same thing. 5-6 suited, right?
Yeah. It's a little too bad to have the king of clubs for this thought process, right? We would like him to be able to have the king of clubs for some of his bluffs.
True, but he might not even be doing those bluffs with non-full house cards once he's been raised. You know, to put in the three bet with just the king of clubs feels like...
Yeah, you're right.
At least a little questionable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it brings up a second question. If we think Bulldog is never three betting with... Well, I guess we don't know, but I guess the king of clubs is a big blocker and he is three betting with a flush. So he can three bet with flushes. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's just never three betting with trip aces.
No, doesn't seem... Ever. We don't think.
It seems hard to imagine he's got ace-queen here for value. It just seems so hard to believe.
Maybe Bulldog's bluff range includes one pair of hands that are, you know, they do technically block full houses too. You know, like 8-10 hands like that.
I guess maybe. I mean, the check-check is so strange. And then when the ace pairs it, it'd be interesting where you're like, well, Mariano has some trip aces that he's raising here. Or even some clubs. And maybe I can blow them all off with my, you know, big play.
I mean, the last lodge hand we did was from this same lodge session. And it was a guy turning a one-pair hand on a paired board into a bluff against a thin value hand.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And here we are again.
Yeah.
Except this time not a bluff.
Right.
But thin. Yeah. Thin, really thin.
Yeah. This is all very complex stuff.
I mean, look, if we're gonna call with anything that isn't truly monstrous, it's this hand, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna just to not be exploited in these spots, like we were talking a little bit before the podcast, which we shouldn't do as practice, we should save it for the podcast. But we were talking a little bit about Mariano's decision here, and there's metagame implications here, right? Like Mariano played this hand strangely; he's underrepped, and then he goes for the semi-thin value raise on the river, right? Which if people see that he does this and then folds with hands as strong as ace-king...
With, like, the perfect bluff catcher?
Then people are going to start pouncing on that, right?
If he's not
going to be able to do the thin value raises anymore on the river.
Yeah, if they know they can get him to fold, like, big-time bluff catching, hands that should be bluff caught with, the really good players are going to mercilessly attack
And
him
if he's playing in games with freaking Jungle Man...
Right, which
you know,
he is.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I think he actually takes a while to call here, and I think he's sitting there knowing that he has to call, especially because it's on the stream, and hating it because he feels like, how often is this guy actually bluffing when he three bets? Like, is he ever bluffing? It's so rare.
So Mariano does make the call, and I want to give a little more credit to Bulldog for the impressive thin value he got here because we didn't really mention it that much. I'm pretty sure I'm mostly calling with Bulldog's hand in this spot. Right?
I think I mostly am too. I mean, look, if Mariano is folding some other, if Mariano's folding all his bad flushes and only calling with this as a worse hand, essentially.
Well, then this is a bad raise.
Then it's a bad raise, right? So like we need Mariano to be calling with like jack high flushes, 10 high flushes, and some trip aces, really.
We just don't know. We just don't.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's hard to know, but I appreciate Bulldog going for it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he succeeds means there's at least some gristle on the bone.
Well put. I think that's a good way to end.
Me too. Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck second take. 90s baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second.